So we're just going to start with this because this is the record of Israel. But says, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now, this was the history of Israel, and I put to you, this is the history of our great nation. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Have you ever seen it more evident than it is right now? Professing themselves, it doesn't matter which political end of the spectrum that you're on, that a nation that is tearing its own self down and destroying itself. But here it had to do with their relationship with God, and so it is with America. But professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And before we go further, I've shared this a number of times over the years as my testimony where the Lord saved me. And I was such a mess, not just in a mess, I was a mess. And I had spent a number of years just, I couldn't count the nights of the week in the bars and the clubs. I mean, a cesspool. I'm not going to dress it up for anyone. I never have since the Lord delivered me out. Someone says, well, it's not like that. They're doing it for this. No, it's a cesspool. It's a cesspool. It's where snakes and critters go, where they crawl, where they carouse. I know what they were for there then. I know what I was there for then. I know what it was about, and I still know what it's about today. But I would sit there, and there was a song, an old country song that would come on that everybody in the place loved. Right? The more drunk you were, the more you loved the song. And the song went like this, and it's actually you like the song until you just actually listen to it. The words, and I've shared this so many times over the years, was I like to think that God is love. He's down below, he's up above. He's watching people everywhere. He knows who does and doesn't care. I think it starts before that. I don't believe heaven waits for only those who congregate. You know, I like to think that God is love. What was the message of that? Well, you don't need to go to church. That's the message. You know, the bar is just fine. That was the message of the song. You don't need to go to the house of God, the nightclub. What you're doing right now is just fine. And God is love, and he knows if you care. And that was the message. He just said, that's what it's all about. If you care, well, everybody cares. Most people care about themselves. Everybody cares. And then everybody cares. And in that situation, they cared about that one they were pursuing. At least for the night, they cared. But he knows who cares, and he doesn't care. And that was the message of the song. And, you know, I could sing that along with everybody else in that place and think myself spiritual. And you know why? Because I had God, I thought, like I liked to think that he was. I liked, in that situation, I didn't want to think about God like I knew that he was. I wanted to think about God like I liked to think that he was. He's going to understand all this, and all this is going to be fine because, you know, he's watching, and he knows I care, and he knows this. But that idea that I thought, and it's a thousand times worse today, that people think that because they think about God a certain way, that makes God that way. Now, let me ask you this. If I thought about you a certain way, would that change you? If I thought that Brother Justin, that old Justin, he's just the laziest guy I know. worthless and lazy, won't cut the grass, won't do anything, just lays around all day long and watches TV. That's the way I'm going to think about Justin. I can think about Justin that way, but that doesn't change it. If Justin's got a fault, he likes to work at everything. Is that true? Okay, and you say, how can that be a fault? Well, I won't go into that. But he likes to work at everything. But it doesn't change what someone is just because you like to think that they are that way.
And he said, they changed the glory of an incorruptible God into an image made like the man. They made an idol and worshipped it. But we have learned to form God the way we want, the way that fits what the way we like to think about things in our particular generation, that fits our circumstances. We change God into that, and we say, He understands. And you know, when someone tells me, well, God understands, you know what I tell them? Yes, He does. Sounds different, don't it? When you say, but God understands, yes, He does. This one who searches the thoughts and the intents of the heart, He definitely understands. But they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. Took a holy God and made him unholy. You say, well, no one makes God unholy. You make Him accept it. You make Him live with it. You say he'll gather it into Himself. You'll say that He'll abide with it. You'll say it'll abide with Him. What else are you doing? It took an uncorruptible God, made Him like unto corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. The first judgment of God, the first time God with Israel said, I'm fed up. I'm fed up. This is what you want? I'm fed up. What did He do? He gave them what they wanted. He was fed up and He gave them what they wanted and He gave them up to what they wanted. God gave them up to uncleanness. You want uncleanness? I'll give you uncleanness. And I'm going to tell you that as a nation, this probably started in my early childhood. That as a nation, as God began to give this nation up to uncleanness, I don't know if I've ever sang it publicly or anything, but you know, every once in a while I'll change a verse to a song, and this was probably 20 years ago, but the old song, God Bless America, and I begin to ask the question, can God bless America? And I just begin to write words to a verse, and maybe you'll like it, maybe it'll offend you. And it went like this. God blessed America. Freedom He gave. But we abused it. And we misused it. And to our passions and lust became enslaved. Didn't that happen to America? We taught our doctors to kill our babies. We traded marriage for an unclean bed. Can God bless America? It's a real question. Can God bless America? But they wanted uncleanness. So the Scripture, and this is the history of Israel, but it's the history of our nation. So He gave them up to uncleanness. And when He gives a nation up to uncleanness, it's like the dam. First the water begins to saturate the dam and begins to leak through, but it comes to a point that it just breaks. It just breaks. And it changes the entire nation to lust and passions as a people, as a society, we became enslaved. Enslaved. And just in my lifetime, Brother Surface talks about the day that you would have put in jail for pornography. That it was illegal. So, oh, that's censorship. Well, I believe in censorship. Every day my children lived in my home, there was censorship. How about you? There were things, there's words you're not going to use. There's things that not going to happen. There's things that are not going to be said. And then someone else come in my home and I say, you're not going to talk that way in my home. You're not going to affect my children. There's an old saying, don't be so open-minded that your brains fall out. And we said, well, that's censorship. So we gave right to the pornographers to produce, to publish, to send it everywhere. You say, well, that's in our Constitution. You show me that in the Constitution. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And the nation was given up to uncleanness, and marriage was forsaken. Now, I'm going to stand here. I'm not going to be a holier than thou. Because I suspect not only just this generation, but of all generation, that there were a number of you, including myself, and that was involved in uncleanness, in sexual uncleanness. Would that be true? And yet, you turned from it, you turned to the Lord. But just because you were in it yesterday, when I say yesterday, a decade ago, 10 years ago, doesn't mean that God changed about it, that He changed His mind about it, that it's still damnable. I want to say this because you used to didn't have to say it, but do you know, young people, you need to know this, and parents, if I go too far, you tell me, that sexual activity outside of marriage is a sin, and it's wrong, and it's damnable. It's true. It's true. And you say, well, I wasn't involved in that. Yes, you were. Such were some of you. But you are washed. But you are sanctified. But you are justified. And I promise you don't want the same thing for your little girl or for your little boy. But we live in a nation that's given over to it. Given up to it. It's not only accepted, it's promoted. I'll tell you something. You watch the television and kids think that's what life is. That's not what life is. That's what they want your life to be. And they gave them up to uncleanness. And marriage has been traded off. And marriage, people, and when you trade off marriage, those that do get married treat it like a cheap thing. Something that has no value. I still believe that it's a sacred oath. But He gave them up to uncleanness. And that's not happening in America. That's been our generation. It's not happening. That's history. To dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And they begin to worship themselves. It's about you. It's all about you. Now you see the billboards. They're advertising some luxury thing. It's all about you. And I tell people, your life's all about you. It's a poorly spent life. But they worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator who is blessed forever. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. You know what vile affections are? That's sexual perversions. There can be sexual perversions in a marriage. There can be sexual perversions out of marriage. What is sexual perversions? Well, he's going to say this. He said, for even the women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature. He said, and likewise the men also, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was meet. Parents, forgive me if you think I'm going too far this morning. But what he calls vile affections, not just unclean lust, which was a judgment and will be judged, but was vile affection. Perverse. What is vile? It's when he says they leave the natural use. What's the natural use? God told man and woman, he put them together and said, go forth and multiply. But there's a natural desire of man to a woman and a woman to a man. And it's not to be a perverted desire, but a natural desire. And it's part of procreation. It's a part of going forth and multiplying. And me and my wife went forth and multiplied. It's what God said, do. And it's all right. It's all right. It's ordained of God. It's in the sanctity of marriage. Outside of that, it's unclean lust. Different from that, it's vile affections. Can you see the difference? It's vile affections. When it's man with man, when it's woman with woman. And I'll just throw this in, even in a marriage, when it's not the natural use, it's vile affections. Now, this is not what's going to be. This is the history of Israel. It's what happened to them. This is the history of America. Someone said, God's turning us over that. You're deceiving yourself. There is, and there's no way to get around, there is, and it's been, and I've seen this for probably a decade, an epidemic. You're worried about COVID, and I take COVID seriously, but you're worried about COVID. There is an epidemic greater than this pandemic of vile affections that has been brewing for a decade among our youth and amongst our children. And it's not just that it's there, it's that it's promoted. Listen to me. It's promoted. And if you're not closed-minded, you're going to experiment with it. And parents and grandparents, if you're not aware of that, get your head out of the sand. I tell you that it's not just that it's there, it's that it's promoted, and your child, we used to talk about peer pressure, that peer pressure was that you, some boy out back was going to find another boy, say, if you're cool, you'll take a smoke. You know, and smoke a camel, take a puff on a camel. I remember sitting in an attic room with three boys. And someone had thrown out their cigarettes from church, said the Lord delivered them. One boy found it. He was about 7 or 8 years old. He called us up in this little attic room in this building out back from the church, and himself and Kenneth and Jeff and me in that attic room. I hope you know this, Brother Surface. He got the matches. He lit that cigarette. And he takes a puff. He's the coolest thing there ever was. He's just so cool. And he takes his puff. And he takes it, passes it to my brother Kenneth. I'm telling on you, Kenneth. He passes it to Brother Kenneth. And Kenneth puts that, I don't know if he puffed anything or not, but he made it look like he did. He made it, yeah. Kenneth has got to be probably 6, maybe 7. He passes to me, I'm sure you could have seen by the light of my glow. My ears about to burn off, my everything else. And I take that, I knew Dad would find out. I knew Dad would find out. I passed it to Jeff, which had to be 3. And Jeff takes him as little pup. Jeff was never afraid of anything. Like, little pup, that was it. We crawled down out of that. Dad's out of town preaching revival. Jeff goes straight to Brother Mooney. Says, Keith and George and Kenneth were up in the attic smoking. And we used to call that peer pressure. That ain't nothing. That ain't nothing to what your sons and your daughters face every day. And I know I'm lighting things up a little bit, but this is serious. Because today, it's uncleanness and vile affections. Things that when you open the door, it's almost impossible to close. I want to say something. Can I meddle? You say you hadn't been? The cell phone changed parenting forever. It did. Used to, and some of you children won't understand, we had a phone, we were modern. We had a phone with a 20-foot cord on it, on our wall. You talk to somebody, and if you wanted to be private, you stretch that little rolly-out cord as long as you could get it, got around the hallway, and got like this. And all mom and dad do, just follow the cord. And if they were just a parent that took their job seriously at all, they could know where you were, who you were talking to, what was going on, who you was hanging out with, such as that. How many remember that life? When the cell phone came along, it took a little while to get going. I remember when Christopher got a phone. Karen and I fought over this. I don't still know who won. When I say fight, we didn't come fist. We had disagreements. I said, they don't need a phone. I stand by that. She didn't. She said, he's driving now. He's driving now. I need, if something happens. How many moms are worried about if something happens to your kids? Yeah, and I'd say, okay, what about the last 6,000 years? He's driving now. If something happens, I want to be able to get home. So, you got a phone. You got one of these flip-flops. I told him, son, please bring it to church. Why? I said, because I want it to go off one time in church. One time. Why? I said, I want to see the whole congregation watch me break it in half. They would not bring their phone to church for some reason. They would not do that. And I understand that times change. And that's why I say parenting has changed. Education, they want access, they want all these things. But I just want to say something to parents before I move on this morning. Yes, that cell phone may give you access to your child. It also gives every unclean spirit, every ungodly thing on the planet access to your child. So you weigh that out. You say, but oh, we know who they call. In fact, you deceive yourselves. Turn around and ask a teenager. They'll tell you, you deceive yourself. If you don't think there's not 100 ways that they get around your little locks and your little safety. But anybody with me this morning? You deceive yourself. I'm not telling you what to do, but I am telling you, get your head out of the sand and understand what you're dealing with, what you're facing, and you saying one thing, and now in the middle of the night or through this route around app or something like that. Everything in the world is telling you them your mom and dad are just old school fuddy-duddy, closed-minded, hatred bigots. And I'll tell you, young people that lay up half the night texting and apping or whatever, you're part of the problem. You're part of the problem. And this is part of it. But he said the nation was given up to vile affections. And he said, we're going to turn this back. You're kidding yourself. It's what is. It permeates every level of society. Likewise also the men with men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Don't talk to me about these things, preacher. You're judging, you're so judgmental, you're so judgmental. Is it all right if someone watches for the souls of your children? Mom and dad, you're mom and dad. Don't let society tell you what you can and can't do. Don't let what's popular tell you what you can and can't do. You're mom and dad. You've been given a stewardship from heaven. Do it in love. Do it in wisdom. Do it with grace. But do what God has commissioned you to do. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. You know, I don't want to hear what God says about this. This is the 21st century. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. You know what a reprobate mind is? It's useless to do those things that's not convenient. You don't want to know what right is wrong is? Okay, God says, then I'll give you over to a mind that will let you do anything. If you don't want someone to tell you, if you don't want to know what God says is right and wrong, I'll turn you over to a mind that will just let you do anything. You'll feel all right about it. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetous, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, deceitful, proud, boasters, inventor of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do. And America's not being turned over to vile affections. America's in the middle of being given over to a reprobate mind. Amen. Nothing matters. Nothing is wrong. Nothing is sin. Nothing. It's all your perspective. Now, I don't want to leave us there. Let's go to 1 Timothy, the first chapter. Paul's writing to Timothy. I want to speak to you, child of God. In a day, I'll tell you this. Some people get aggravated with me or not. I'm not a political person. I have seen enough to know there's snakes on every hand. Scripture, God writes to Timothy, and you'll understand why I jumped into that. He's remembering Timothy. Timothy is a young man that is a companion of Paul, but Paul's having to send him out, leave him with churches as Paul moves on to another place. And it seems that Timothy maybe is getting discouraged, maybe getting overburdened, maybe seems to be hardening under the load. I don't know. But he writes to Timothy, he says, I remember the unfeigned faith, the unpretended faith that is in you. I'm going to ask each of you this morning, do you remember the unpretended faith that was in you? Unpretended, without pretense. Sixth verse, wherefore I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God which is in you by the putting on of my hands. And he's saying, Timothy, I want you to stir something up. And he's actually, I believe he's talking about the Holy Ghost, that baptism of the Spirit, that Timothy received the baptism of the Spirit through the laying on the hands of this apostle, as many did in the Bible. But he speaks to him, stir it up. Stir it up. Don't lose that this morning. Stir it up. Put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God which is in you by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. Timothy was facing persecution. I look at America and question and see what we're facing, what our children are facing, what our grandchildren are facing. And I need to remember this, but God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of what? A sound mind. The last 2 weeks, I believe it is, I've been speaking about more than a man. And ended up, was it last week or the week before, over there, where he says, but we have the mind of Christ. If you're a child of God, if you are indeed born of the Spirit of God, in the midst of a generation given over to a reprobate mind, He hasn't given you that. He hasn't given you a reprobate mind. He didn't give you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What is that? It's the mind of Christ. A sound mind. But I'm going to say something before we close out on this morning. I won't be a whole lot longer. But I want to say this. It's easy to go through Romans 1 and see the state of America and see the wickedness, the uncleanness, the perversion. It is perversion. Don't play with it. It's not cool. It's a death trap. I saw just online just a little news clip of a homosexual choir in San Francisco, and they were singing a song. And the words of the song said that they're talking about their agenda and everything like this. But the words of the song says they say, and he's talking about your parents, they say that we're after their children. Well, in this one thing, they are right. And they're promoting what a good thing. They're going to convince our children. They're going to turn our children away from what we believe. They're going to turn our children away what we stand for. Well, they're describing in their song as a great and a wonderful and good thing when they do that. But they know what your grandfathers have been saying. They're after your children. They're after their minds. They're after their hearts. And now they're standing up boldly saying, you're right. But it would be easy just to stop there and describe that, the horrid state of America. But I want to tell you what has alarmed me to no end this year. And the riots of the past year, you know, the filthiness of the politicians of the past decade, all the things, you know, so horrible, the tearing down of America has alarmed me. But you want to know what's alarmed me this past year? Among what is called the conservative, among what is called even the Christian right, the conspiracy stuff, and the foolishness, and you know, the things that are not even rational. Not even rational. For all these things that they're saying to be true, Nancy Pelosi and Donald Trump would have to get together hand in hand and sing "When We All Pull Together." It just isn't going to happen. We got conspiracies about everything. Everything. I've got to broach something this morning. I went and got a vaccine, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago. And someone goes, "Oh." Well, nobody said, "Oh," when I got the polio vaccine. I said, "Oh," but no one else did. You know, your tuberculosis and your, no one else did. But I understand people's concerns. I had a concern, when was I, 2 or 5, when they stick that multi-prong thing in your arm and poof. I had a real concern about it. But I understand, and I'm not mocking people's concerns. But the conspiracy stuff that is coming out, that people are blaming and accusing the people who were the first ones to get the shots. They were the first one to get the vaccines. "Oh, but they're doing this and they're manipulating." And I'm just saying, Lord, be merciful to us. And I guess this is on my mind. I saw last night, this morning, some conservative radio personality, I think it was from St. Louis, they've been telling people, you know, "I'm safer without it. You're safer without it. You're that." Now he's close to death. He's close to death with COVID. And he's sending back messages for them to play on his conservative talk show saying, "Get vaccinated." Well, I'm not here to tell you this morning to get vaccinated. What I am here to say is, don't let a talk show host lead you around. Don't let a conspiracy theory lead you around. Don't let the little talking club on the job lead you around. But stir up the gift of God that is within you. And He's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And if you seeking God, say, "I don't want a vaccine." Well, then the Lord be with you. I have no problem with that. But don't go around chasing theory after theory. I'm still hearing Donald Trump's going to be president in August. He's going to be president. He's going to be this, all these things. And I'm saying, Lord, has that side lost their mind too? Listen to me, folks. I know I'm going to get some blowback on this. But what is His answer in such a generation as this, when there's fallacies on every side and foolishness on every side? Stir up the gift of God that is within you. Can you see that answer? Stir up the gift of God. Don't be led by a politician. Don't be led by talk show host. Don't be led by the guy that says, "Well, I know one thing." And don't be led by that. Be led by the Spirit of God. For He has not given us the spirit of fear, but neither has He given us the spirit of foolishness. He's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power right in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation, and of love. I'm not here to rail against the ungodly. I was the ungodly. When I say, there go I, but by the grace of God, I understand what that means. But He's given us the Spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Oh, Lord, in our day, how we need some folks to stand up with a sound mind.